Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, okay. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Looks like I lost my audio for the show, so that's okay. We'll put it back on there. Of course, you know, I always started my broadcast with the Grand Illusion, and end it with All We Need Is Love. I'm going to put a new one on there because it's just kind of appropriate for the broadcast. I haven't been on here for a while, so that's my fault. I've been busy doing other things, and actually I've been kind of just sitting back and watching the world evolve and kind of, you know, things are going okay. Things are really going in the right direction, nationally and globally speaking. A lot of the things that were sparked up, by the media and, you know, by human and current events have kind of settled into place and are kind of working themselves out. So, you know, I haven't really been inclined to really, really, you know, come and do a broadcast, but I'm going to get back in the saddle and start doing broadcasts on a more frequent and regular basis, because I think that when you're not, when somebody on the planet, you know, is not vocal about the reality of the events that are taking place as the human race evolves, it's almost kind of like, you know, people in the media and especially politicians, you know, they keep drilling these this misinformation, and next thing you know, people are actually, you know, buying into it. You know, they call them sheeple, you know, buy into it hook, line, and sinker, and actually believing that things are the way that they are being portrayed in the media, when that's not the reality, and it's certainly not the truth. And the name of this broadcast, this is November the 1st, 2015. So welcome to Daylight Saving Time and November. But the name of this broadcast is No Respect, because that's what's missing. A lot of things that are taking place, you know, in this world and in this nation are due to a lack of respect. I'm going to touch on something real quick before I jump into politics, because it was the last, you know, thing that was, you know, publicized in a biased manner, and this had to do with this young lady being dragged out of the classroom. And there was a lot of things that, you know, that were taking place simultaneously that you may or may not have been aware of, you know, in that whole clip. It's someone, you know, recording the incident, the scene and stuff like that. And lo and behold, they got a great little piece of action, if you will, for the media. But if you notice, when that officer came into the classroom, and the girl is 16. She's 16, African-American young lady, and the officer was a Caucasian gentleman, and he warned her twice, at least twice. Now, that's the part that we saw right there, when he warned her twice to get up out of her seat, come with him, so forth and so on. But now, we don't take into account the disrespect that took place prior to that between her and the educator, or the teacher that was standing there in the classroom. Now, you got to understand, it came to that point because she was on a cell phone, had a cell phone out or whatever the case may be, and he had told her probably more than once to put the phone away, you know, or he'll have to take it and stuff like that. And you can best believe that, you know, if that young lady was defiant to law enforcement, she was definitely defiant, you know, to the teacher there. Now, if you notice, in that clip, there were no other kids that got excited about what was taking place. So she must have been an outcast. She must have been someone that was, known to, you know, a troublemaker, loud mouth or whatever, being disrespectful. I would dare to say go venture into her home and see how this young lady was raised. Because, see, I'm misusing this word young lady. Because if this was a young lady, then she would have never let things evolve or escalate to where they are in terms of being dragged out of a classroom setting and things of that nature. If she was truly a young lady, she would be in there for what? What was she in there for? To get an education. Not to be defiant, not to be disrespectful, not to be on the cell phone and all these other. She was there to get an education. So being disruptive to the other class members, if you notice, they didn't budge. You know, the other class members didn't get up. They didn't say anything. They didn't stand up in her defense or any of that kind of stuff. They were there just quiet, you know, and so forth and so on. Now, if you noticed, I don't know if you paid attention to this, but the teacher or the educator in the classroom or of the classroom was also an African American gentleman. Now, he didn't say anything in defense of this young lady or this girl or whatever, you know. I guess you would call her. I'm just going to say an outcast because pretty much, you know, she was being very disruptive, you know, in the classroom. And she should have been removed, you know. She wouldn't get up. She wouldn't move. She wouldn't budge. So, you know, what's the officer to do? He's not going to let her, you know, will her authority over him. That doesn't make any sense. And see, that's the problem with these young folks nowadays. They don't have any respect for authority. They don't have any respect for elders. They don't have any respect for God. They don't have any respect for country. They don't have any respect for anything. You know, and this is a problem. This is the problem. You know, and they need to be dealt with. You see, as the Bible says, spoil the rod, I mean, spare the rod, spoil the child. She's not getting the rod at home. She's not getting the fear of God at home. She's not getting the, you know, indoctrination of God. She's not getting any of the moral aspects of society, the moral aspects of life, moral aspects of spirituality. She's not getting any of these things because I guarantee you one thing. If she had any of those things in her life, in her spirit, in her upbringing, in her being, she wouldn't be at that point. She just simply wouldn't be at that point. She'd be more respectful, you know, of her there to get an education. You know, I mean, if you look at a lot of other children in the world, you know, when it comes to they take pride in education. They think that education is a gift, not a gimme. You know, they think it's something that, you know, that they cherish, you know, and they embrace, you know, and they move forward. And consequently, you know, we as a nation have fallen way back, you know, way back in the scholastic race, you know, the academic race, you know. In competition, because that's how they look at it. Kids who come from other countries, China or India or whatever the case may be, they look at it as a challenge or as a competition. You know, they know what's at stake here. They know that the power, you know, mind power, brain power is ultimate power. And we're too busy acting like clowns and buffoons, you know, to understand this reality, you know, and we take it for granted, you know. So if you look at those dynamics, you know, in that particular clip, the officer is not in the wrong. And I would definitely, you know, be surprised and just be really somewhat, you know, angered if they do convict this officer of any wrongdoing. Because, you know, society has to take a stand. If the home, if the child or the children's household is not going to take a stand, then society has to take a stand. We have to combat this disrespect. We have to combat, you know, this violence and this enemy, you know, this spirit, you know, of rebellion. You know, it has to be put down and put away, you know, in order for this to be peace on earth, you know, and also living on earth as it is in heaven. You know, that right there, that action that this young lady or this girl took, you know, I keep calling her a young lady, but she's certainly not a young lady by putting herself in that scenario. That's the same thing with the girl in McKinney, Texas. You know, she had her mouth running, she was being defiant, you know, being obnoxious, you know, being disrespectful to law enforcement. Like I said, I asked my girls again, you know, what would they have done in that scenario in the classroom? They said, well, Dad, first of all, you know, we're not going to be in a situation where they're telling us to put our cell phone away. They're going to have enough sense, you know, not to even pull a cell phone out in a time of education, in a time of, you know, when you're supposed to be getting. Now, if it's an emergency, and, you know, like somebody sends a text message, I send a text message and say, hey, we have an emergency family, which it would have to be a dire emergency, you know, for me to do something like that. You know, that then they would, you know, go up and ask the educator, go up and ask the teacher, hey, could I, you know, step out of the classroom? I have an emergency, so forth and so on, and then, you know, proceed with it from there and doing things in the right mannerly way, not just being, belligerent and disrespectful as this young lady was, or this girl was, in the classroom. So, looking at that in a clear perspective, and they haven't ever pointed out these things. So I hope they'll tune back into this broadcast, tune back into my broadcast, and pick out those particular things in that the children, her classmates were not, they didn't even really flinch at all. In other words, like they're there to study, and let's get this girl up out of here. Let's, because she's disruptive and I can't get my education. And this is what the taxpayer dollars are paying for, is to get children educated, especially on that level. And again, the teacher, the educator, what they really try to look like, they try to keep him out of the picture, out of the video or the clip. But if you look very quickly and off to the right, you can see that he is an African American gentleman, pretty good size and stature. I mean, which he can't go put his hands on that girl. He can't go. He tried everything, I'm sure, in his power to get her to exit his classroom, and she's just sitting there. I think she was even sitting sideways or something, and just being real defiant. And I ain't going nowhere. I ain't doing this. I ain't doing that. She needs to have her behind dragged up out of there. That's just all it is to it. Because she's not getting it at home. So I mean, we have to deal with her in society, and that's how I'd have dealt with her. My kids, I did not spare the rod with them, and thus I do not have spoiled children. I have very respectful, they you see them out in society, and folks, they always come back to me and they say, "Your daughters are so mannerable, and so polite and so respectful and things of that nature." I said, "They have no choice because they got to deal with me if that's not the case." And even my little cousins and things of that nature, little fellas, little guys in our family and stuff like that, they receive the same chastisement. We don't pull back on that. I received it. My generation received it. A good beat down and stuff. We was acting out of line and all that kind of stuff. And we turned out pretty doggone good. And in comparison to, these young folks coming up nowadays, they just all over the place. They just all, it's just ridiculous. And it has to, we have to come to a crossroad and a stop and turn this thing around. And that's one way to go about it. And I applaud that officer for taking his stance the way he did. He didn't injure the girl. He didn't injure her. He used maneuvers, that would, get her, to commit, I mean, to comply, and cuffed her or whatever the case may be. And let her. See, the thing about it is, if we don't get her now, when she gets to be an adult and she acts out and does something that matter, guess what? She's in lockup. So now we're paying for her again. Now she's, incarcerated because she didn't do something. It could be, 10 times worse, where she's on her way to prison, in that scenario. And then we have to really take care of her, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, whatever the case may be, taxpayers' money, and all this other kind of, but because she didn't start off right, you see, because she wasn't, she just being disrespectful, to authority and to the law, and to herself for that matter, and to God, because she's not being, she's not acting very godly at that particular point in time. Okay, now, jumping tracks right quick because I only have a short period of time. We're going to move over to the political events and stuff here. Hillary Clinton, after Benghazi here, folks, we done spent $4 million, almost $5 million. On the big guy to hear. Trey Gowdy says that we didn't uncover anything new. After 11 hours on the stand, on the grilling and things of that nature, she prevailed. She then came out looking better than she did before she went into the thing. I mean, the Republicans keep shooting themselves in the foot. This is one of the reasons why I felt compelled to come back and start doing broadcasts, because, it's just mind blowing. It's mind blowing. Some of the things that the Republicans and the right say, and actually, expect the American people to digest it, it's very agitating and very aggravating, to hear some of the things they say, because they know, I mean, either they're just as dumb as a rock, or they got to know that some of the things that they say that comes out of their mouth is so idiotic that, it's like it's unbelievable. It's just totally, you're bewildered that they would even say anything like that, because it's so stupid, it's just so idiotic that it just doesn't make any sense. And I hope and pray that they, change their approach and change their way and what they're saying and what they're thinking, and so they can get back on track. They don't even understand how to get back on track with the American people, quote unquote American people. Now, when they speak of the American people, they're not speaking about the overall American people. They're speaking of a small group of people of conservatives that, you know, have been led to believe in the same way that these people, you know, that are saying these crazy and idiotic things, you know, believe. And, you know, it's kind of funny because when I'm out here talking to people, you know, in general public, in general society, when I talk to the Republicans or the right wingers and staunch right, they sound just like a record tape, you know, a recording, you know, of these guys that are putting this information out here, you know, on a political level. And it's just mind-blowing. You know, it's like, man, you bought into that hook line. You even sound just, I mean, you're saying things verbatim. That means you're not even able to create your own, you know, thought, trend of thought, you know, way of thinking, you know, outside of what you're being, you know, misled or misfed, I should say. You know, so consequently, you know, you have this, you know, they're so far in left field, I mean, you know, pun intended, that, you know, they're clueless, and it's just mind-blowing that they go in that manner. But without doing their own research and remember, you know, reality. When Hillary Clinton came out, you know, now she's 51% up from 42%. That lady right there is in a power situation. She's taking a nation, you know, because she looks presidential. She's the only one of all candidates, Republican and Democrat, that actually looks presidential, that actually acts presidential. You know, Bush, Jeb Bush, God bless him, he just don't have it, you know. His brother, you know, George, you know, he had it. He's got the presidential look, the demeanor, and things of that. Jeb just doesn't have it, you know. And like Trump says, you know, we can't have another, we can't stand another Bush, you know, in American presidency. Carson, I told you a long time ago, Carson was a dark horse. You know, you got to watch him because, you know, he's come up in a poll, but he said some things, you know, here recently that has kind of cooked his goose. It causes decline in the polls, and, you know, when you're talking about a Muslim and you know, being president, he could never support that or go for that. You know, if, you know, that was a dumb strategy. I don't know who talked to this guy, who talked to Ben Carson, or who didn't talk to him, but, you know, if you have those kind of thoughts, you know, divisive thoughts, you know, in terms of, you know, who you wouldn't support, you know, keep that to yourself. Don't just openly and voluntarily just throw that out there and you know, into the public media, because they're going to rip you up. I mean, you lost so many votes in that particular. They want the Muslim community, which is a very large and leverageable community, you know, in America now, you know, wants him to completely step down. So he's going to lose all of that support, all that vote, anybody that they reach out to, you know, because they have connective tentacles, you know, out there in society. And he's lost all of that, you know, so pretty much he's lost the presidency. You know, and he's wavered on a couple of other, you know, issues. They, you know, pull it out that he's a Seventh-day Adventist. I mean, you know, they're kind of looking at it as a negative light when, you know, Seventh-day is closer to the true and original belief system on the planet, you know, than Christianity is. You know, we're gonna definitely dive very heavily into Christianity, because we're gonna break this this concept and this ideology and this you know, religion apart, simply because, you know, it's a step towards being free. You know, when you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is where we are evolving to on this broadcast, and as humanity, you know, we're going to move past all of this, you know, this separation, these devices of divisiveness or separation and things of that nature. We're going to bring it all together, you know, through this broadcast. I'm also writing a book, and that's going to be a heck of a piece, you know, somewhere down the line. But we're going to get this right. You know, we're going to at least put the information out there, the knowledge out there, so we can get everything, you know, in the right perspective. Now, going back to Hillary Clinton, they say it's a terror attack. You know, she knew this, she knew that. I mean, you got to understand, you know, like you said, the information was coming. And what the conflict is that, you know, or the misunderstanding is that Chris Stevens and them, you know, if you go back and look at the information, research the information, which I did long ago, and I may have it stored on another computer, and I will post it on the broadcast. But he was walking around there, and them guys were actually walking around there, around the compound, and the consulate, you know, it, with it, like in free will. just coming and going as they please, because we had just liberated Libya, so we were looked at as friends, and allies, and they would rally to support the people that were in the consulate, the American consulate there, and like I say, life was pretty good for those guys, and I remember this distinctly. Pulling this information down. Of course, it's probably gone by now. I did try to look for it a while back, and I can't find it, mysteriously. But I did point it out in the broadcast earlier. So if you go back and listen to my broadcast, earlier broadcast, you hear me say the same thing. But, for an uprising to just, materialize out of nowhere, and, like people say, well, it may be because of, some type of, cartoonery or some type of nonsense, put out in the media about Muhammad or about something, political or, religious related and stuff like that, in the mass media. Why we would do that, against, if someone were to do that against Christ, against Jesus or against this nation in that regard, in a religious regard, not in a spiritual regard, because there's a big separation between the two, but in a religious regard, you can understand the fuel and the fire, of individuals in this nation that believe under that belief system would have towards the individual or individuals that would put out such a document or a doctrine, you see. So, there would probably be protests. There would probably be uprising and things of that nature if it was as severe as, making, other people's messiahs, like cartoon creatures or cartoon, characters and different type of, creatures or whatever the case may be. You could understand the sentiment, of those that believe in that individual or in that belief system. And as righteous people and right as Christians, as would be in this age, which I am not. I certainly will explain that. Let me explain that right quick. I'm more of a Judaic believing individual, and the reason I say that is because, Judaism believes in one God, one people, and one way of life. Even though I've evolved beyond that, because I don't want to deal with any type of title or religion or anything that separates one from another or me from my brother, but that belief system is what I most adhere to. One God, one people, and one way of life. And that way of life is simply righteousness toward and for all mankind. Very simplistic. But if you notice, Yeshua or Jesus, the one they call Jesus, and this has been so deformed, they have taken Jesus and deformed him in such a way that the truth has been buried, along the way. And his name is Yeshua, as we described before in my earlier broadcast. You can simply Google Yeshua ben Joseph. Yeshua, J-E-S-H-U-A, and the word Ben, B-E-N, and then the word Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H, and you'll see it hit images, and you just Google it, and you'll see what images come up. But you do it, I won't tell you, you do it, you'll be amazed. And then do Yeshua Ben Mary. There's someone saying that back then they simply named their children after the parents. So Yeshua being his name, Ben, child of Mary, well, you know who Mother Mary is, the Mother Mary, the boy, Yeshua or Jesus. You'll be amazed. Hit images and you'll see who comes up. Do it and see, see what happens and stuff. Then you can do Jesus Christ and see what happens as well. And you'll find that, the Yeshua, Ben, Joseph, and Mary are the one that they call Jesus Christ. The images come up. So that just validates his name, what his actual and true name was. And basically back in that day and time, which, He was born into a Judaic life and a Judaic system under Judaic parents. He died a Judaic person, because if you notice that along the way, even his mother called him Rabbi or Rabboni, when she seen him in the book of John after he came down off the cross. And when he was up on the cross, if you notice the plaques they put up under the cross, that gave him his title and origin, it says Jesus of Nazareth. King of the Jews, King of the Jews. That means that Jesus or Yeshua was actually a Judaic person, a Jewish person, you see. And my thinking and my belief is that if Judaism is okay for the Messiah, Jesus Christ or Yeshua ben Joseph, Yeshua ben Mary, then it is certainly okay for me. And I don't understand, no one has ever been able to explain to me where the Christianity, I know where it comes in as far as Constantine is concerned, to take, that way of life or that belief system and turn it into what they call modern day Christianity, and using him as the deity and the sacrifice, what would be the sacrifice or appear to be the sacrifice for men's sin, which we're going to touch on that too, because he didn't die for anyone's sin. He was murdered. He was simply murdered, up on the cross as they were doing a lot of Judaic people at that particular point in time. The Romans were murdering, our Essenes and the Judaic people, crucifying them, throwing them to the lion's den. All of this is actual reality, in the Bible and things of that nature. So, again, I don't know where you get Christianity from a Judaic, Messiah. Explain that one to me, and I guess we'll all be free in that particular regard. But it makes no sense there. And again, Judaism and a Judaic way of life and a belief system was okay, was acceptable for Yeshua, or acceptable for Christ, then certainly okay, for me. And we have to get to where we worship in truth, because if not, we're worshiping in a lie, and we really don't know what and who to to truly worship to. And therefore, our prayers are just going, astray and unanswered. I mean, that's the condition of the world, So, but we'll get back to that. We'll do a broadcast, specifically and solely on that. But I kind of had to jump off and, do that. Okay, now, back to the political thing here. So whether it was whatever kind of attack it was there, it was, like I said, they haven't been able to turn over to create, And this is an amazing thing, too, that they are now just putting forth, Chris Stevens, emails and things of that nature, they're not finding anything in there to condemn, Hillary of any wrongdoing. What you're going to find, and I said this before, and I'll say it again, you keep turning over stones and you're going to find a Republican conspiracy, a right-wing conspiracy behind this consulate attack. You need to keep turning it over, because of the timing of Mr. Obama being reelected as presidency. They wanted to create something going wrong, in the administration or under the administration, so they could put the administration at blame. Now they're saying that they were inadequately protected and things of that nature. Folks, when you go into the military, you become, government property, and as a result, you may end up collateral damage, collateral loss. I mean, that's just the nature of the military machine. Saying that they were not prepared and didn't have, all the, help. And they weren't calling out for help because there was no unrest prior to that event taking place. I'm telling you, somebody paid a group of individuals to come up there, and hit that consulate, because they hit it and that was it. If it was an uprising, you would see days and days of unrest. You would see days and days of attacks. We're only seeing one moment. One moment in time where they attacked the consulate, and that was it. That's what they were told and paid to do. Keep turning over stones, and you will find, that nugget that's going to put it all together. So, the right, you better be very, very, very careful. That's why they're so, steadfast in, trying to blame Hillary and blame somebody for it, because they don't want that to be reflected back upon them, because that is going to be the destruction of the right, wing party or the Republican Party. And quite, specifically, there really needs to be a move toward, a more aggressive move, one world, one government in this country, because we would be such a more progressive nation. And it says, I got 90 seconds, so love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do because it's what God wants us to do, simply because God is love. So that's my sign off. But I'm going to keep rocking. I'm going to keep, going, because I got a couple other things to say. Now, they say that Obama, we're going to jump to Obama. They say that he leads from behind, in Syria. If you remember correctly, when this thing jumped off in Syria, and go back and look at my broadcast, listen to the broadcast, and go back and look at the timing of when this actually just originated in Syria, and look at and find the nuggets of saying that Mr. Obama wanted to send 40 missiles. He wanted to send 40, missiles, the bunker buster type and all. And I remember this clear as well. And the reason I remember this is because, and I validated this because I was talking to an elderly gentleman the other day And I asked him, we was talking about this and stuff, and he volunteered there for it. Yeah, because when Obama, you know, started this thing off, he wanted to just send some missiles over there and do away with Assad, kill Assad right off the bat. Now, if you remember, that is true. You cannot say that is leading from behind, because initially, like I say, Mr. Obama, President Obama, wanted to send 40. He just said, just give me 40 missiles. That's all I need. And I need the type of the long range and to penetrate deep in the ground. I'm going to go kill Assad. I'm going to wipe him out right quick, and we're going to be done with that. Now, had he been able to do that, what kind of condition, what kind of place do we think we'd be in right now? Now, given the fact that Iraq is in a disarray, simply because, you know, Mr. Bush, if we remember SOFA agreement, with the SOFA agreement, you know, the American troops had to be out by a certain date and time. And it was not negotiable. So they had a big, you know, pomp and circumstance, you know, and all the ceremony and stuff over here in America. And given, you know, al-Maliki, which they need to pop al-Maliki, they need to go ahead and do away with him. One way or the other, they need to remove this guy from all public, you know, all, you know, he needs to go, period. I don't care what nobody says. He's an instigator. He's a, you know, he stirs up stuff. You know, he's not with the American people. He's not with the American government. You know, he's a very tricky person. He's like another Saddam Hussein, and he should certainly receive Saddam's, you know, same fate. You know, they got enough, you know, war crimes. They got enough, you know, stealing from the government. They got enough stuff piled up on this guy to do away with him once and for all. They need to pull that trigger, no pun intended. It would be, the world would be a better place. We could be progressive. We can move forward with a lot of things on the agendas without him in the way. And Al-Assad, you know, like I said, he's got to go too. He's got to step down. That whole thing with Russia is a coalition, you know, between Iran, you know, Russia and the United States. What's wrong with that scenario, folks? I'm telling you, you know, it's never been done, you know, in recent history. But what's wrong with giving it a try? What's wrong with making it a reality? Yeah, you can't trust these guys and stuff like that. But the thing about it is, you know, you got to keep your enemies close, and you got to keep your friends even closer. You ever heard that scenario? You know, you got to really watch that situation, you know. So, but I think that, you know, listening to Putin speak and everything like that, he's a man. You know, he's a very general type man. And I think that Vladimir and Barack, you know, have a close relationship. And if you've heard some of the things I've heard off the main stream, you know, they do contact and talk, refer to one another by their first name as two friends would. And they're bringing Iran on board simply because they are a very economic power. They got a lot of things going on. And, you know, and in reality, folks, they would have had a nuclear weapon by now if we had not had broken some type of agreement, you know, with Iran. Because if you know that they were moving full steam ahead with, you know, with being able to creating a nuclear weapon, you know, so they have the technology. All they want to do is put they need the range capability, and they'll have this thing squared away, you know. But like I said, you got to keep your friends close, you know, even closer. You know, so it's a very strategic move for Russia and the United States to be in a coalition, you know, with Iran and other powers, you know, superpowers of the world. And they got Iran, for crying out, they got a million-man army they could call at any time. You know, that's just the first million men. You know, they got, you know, probably 10 million-man army over there. You know, and it would be something that, you know, it's like we would all have to, you know, answer the call, or, you know, wipe away, you know, half the planet, or, you know, a lot of drastic things and things of that nature. We don't want to go there. We don't have to go there as a civilized human race of people. You know, this is, again, with belief system, anchor system being one God, one people, and one way of life, you know, through righteousness, we can do this. And this is what this is all about, you know, bringing this forward. Not with all the right wing and Republican stuff, you know. We're going to do this, and we're going to arm up this, we're going to militarize this, and all this other. That's nonsense. That's a bunch of hogwash and a bunch of, you know, hot air. Because, you know, if they wanted to, you know, militarize everything, you know, like in Syria, boots on the ground, and all this other kind of folks, this brings us right back in the Cold War. You know, and then who would be, you know, is that being the children of God, you know, the peacemakers, you know, being the children of God? Absolutely not. So that's what they are not being that. So, you know, the true peacemakers do have to step forward and come together with one common objective, and that's to bring peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. That's what we're going to do. That's what's happening right now, and ain't nobody going to stop that, because, you know, we got the power of God behind us as the true children of Israel. But anyhow, we're gonna tack all that together, you know, because I heard, you know, some people talking about, you know, Israelites and how much power they have, and you know, and lining up with God. Those are not the Israelites over there under Benjamin Yahoo. Track the lineage, track the ancestral line from Jacob and Esau. Esau, remember, was the red and ruddy or the hairy one, and Jacob was the you know, smooth skin, was, you know, the dark child, and his name became Jacob's name became Israel. Now, if you track the bloodline, the heritage, you'll find it right through the African people, right through, you know, the Africans here in America, and not, you know, over there in Israel through what they would be the Israelites, you know, who conquered, you know, that land over there. Because if you look back in, you know, back in the old Bibles or any old Bibles and look at the map there, you know, that was all of that land was Palestine. You see, so how would you feel if your people were forced and pushed into what they call the Gaza Strip, a little bitty piece right next? The only thing behind you is the water. So you ain't got no place to go, and you're forcibly placed down there in your own land. If you notice the little takes when they show Israel over there, in unrest with the Palestinian folks are throwing rocks for crying out loud, and not Israelites, but the Israelis, you know, have high power weapons and gunnery and different things like that. You know, and it's just unfair. But that's what got them. That's how they were able to conquer that land and steal it and take it away, you know, from the original owners and keepers of that land that God, you know, placed there in that land. And that's the same thing that happened here in America, by the way, quite frankly. But anyhow, George Bush jumping back over here. You know, he had weapons of mass destruction. They really didn't say a whole lot. You know, the right don't really say a whole lot of stuff about that. But that's what put this thing all in, you know, turned this thing all upside down, losing 700,000 jobs a month, and you know, and all this other kind of stuff. You know, but they, you know, for some reason they'll stand on that. You know, now let's see here. Let me just say this. Let's see, George W. Bush, since he's working on destruction. There was something I was going to say, but, you know, anyhow, Carly Fiorina, you know, she doesn't get president, so I'm sorry. She's got some type of, you know, crazy thing on the women's jobs and stuff like that. Well, George W. Bush, you know, wiped out all jobs, men and women. You know, she told a lie. You know, she told a barefaced lie when, you know, women's jobs are coming back, you know, even stronger now than they have before. And she had to recant that. She had to take that back. And, you know, I misspoke. No, you lied. You know, so do we hold at the same level that you would with Hillary Clinton and stuff like that? Yeah, we could easily do that. So that puts you out of the running. Lindsey Graham got on there today talking about, Obama's unwillingness to lead, you know, and leading from behind and things. That, again, I just gave you the scenario of a true leadership. He was ready to, like I say, wipe Assad out. Now, Barack Obama can wipe out an al-Assad or Osama bin Laden and, you know, Muammar Gaddafi and so that, things of that nature, and won't result in a holy jihad. But a George Bush and, you know, Clinton and stuff like that, they can't do that. This is why Clinton is okay for her to go in right now, because pretty much the stage is set for what they want to do in terms of nation building over in that region of the world and emerge the emerging market. So that's set up, you know, nicely for her. It's time for her to step in there and do that. Let's see, Lindsey Graham, like I said, he's so far out in that field. He wants to, you know, create some type of military response, boots on the ground or whatever it takes. That bring us right back into the Cold War, may escalate into the Third World War. Nobody really needs that, wants that. Let peace prevail in that regard. Just do away with that whole conversation where they're coming from, you know, and let's work this thing out peacefully. There's enough for everybody. God set it up that way. And, you know, it's not any happen chance that Russia's flag is now red, white, and blue, just like the United States is red, white, and blue. So, you know, that has, you know, a symbolic reality there. But you got to pay attention to everything and all things that take place. Iran coming on board, you know, this is why the gas prices are down and stuff here in America, because they got a whole glut of oil and stuff like that that they're getting ready to part out. And, you know, we're going to bring back, you know, their economic, you know, place in the world. And, you know, we're doing a lot of things to balance things in the world and do things for the sake of, you know, in the name of God and righteousness, opposed to, you know, in the name of man and their wrongdoing, you know, and things that they've done so far to get us in the condition that we're in today. It hasn't worked, it won't work, you know, so we need to change course. And thank God for Barack and and Putin and people that even Iran and whoever else is, that wants to jump on the right train to get the world into a better way. Donald Trump shot himself in the foot when he talked about Bush and 9/11, said that he could be responsible, or he's responsible for it. Not sure if you noticed from that day forward, Trump has been, his name has been like mud, and he shot himself in the foot in that regard. So basically they're just clearing the way for somebody that's not going to give Hillary, that much of a run for her money. Like I said, Fiorina is not presidential. She's already got up there in line, had to retract, so she's pretty much done. And like I said, Iran would have already had a nuclear weapon by now if the deals weren't negotiated and weren't brought closer to them. They would have literally had the nuclear weapon by now. They said that it was 3 months away, and that was 3 months ago. That was 3 months away from actually completing that. So in factuality, they would have had one by now. So thank God for Mr. Obama and those negotiations, and John Kerry, and anyone else that makes a move towards a more peaceful planet, for all mankind. They are considered the children of God. Nobody can refute or deny that. George Will and Liz Cheney got into a disagreement today on Fox News. That tells you just how much fractured their party is, the right wingers, the Republican Party. They can't get along anywhere, on any ground, at any time. So how in the world can they, steer a nation in the right way? Because a house divided never stands. They're divided within a house divided. So that's chaos, and that will certainly never stand. But anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Thanks for all of y'all for being patient. Come back and join me. Let's move this country and this voice and this way of living, this belief system forward together. It is the healing of humanity and all mankind. We can do this, folks. A lot of people believe that all mankind cannot live together. But God did not make a mistake by placing us all here on this planet. He just wants us to live, his will and his way. Preparing all mankind for his kingdom in the kingdom of heaven. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Take care of one another. Love one another. It's the right thing to do. And folks, start thinking, on your own and looking at things and doing your own research and not listening and going by what, you hear on the news and the media and things like that. It's not the media. They're going to perpetuate things because they want jobs too. I mean, they have to have sensationalized things with controversy and everything like that, because that's the way people watch the news. And they create their revenues off of people are watching news and watch the, commercials and buy the stuff and the products and different things, so forth and so on. We understand that. I hope you do. But if not, look at it for what it really and truly is. But now we can have that same sensationalization, in the right way, in the will of God, in the name of righteousness, and it'll be even much greater because it will be blessed by the Most High. But anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Take care of one another, love one another. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Until then, so long for now. There will not be an ending song in the broadcast simply because I don't know what happened to it. So anyhow, we're just going to simply sign off for now. Take care, and we'll be back real soon. I'm going to start doing this on a more regular basis. I have to come to the call. I just can't stand by and let all this buffoonery and all this nonsense, perpetuate. It has to come, and somebody on the planet has to, they have to realize that somebody on the planet understands what's really going on, what's really up, and not afraid to, bring it forward so that all mankind could, have some knowledge of truth and the reality under which we live. So anyhow, take care, and we'll see you on the next broadcast. So long for now.